On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood before them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground, but the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again." Then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told the apostles. But they did not believe the women, because their words seemed like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves. And he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. I am so very sorry. There's no good way to put that on this robe. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Let those words rest on you as you imagine this scene. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Why do you look for the living among the dead? I can add nothing to the resurrection story. I did not die for your sins, and I cannot provide you hope beyond what Jesus has provided. I can only point to it, point to an empty cross and an empty tomb and a risen Savior to show you the hope that we receive from Christ. But I cannot give you any more hope than our Savior's resurrection provides. I will simply try to point to it, guiding you to what Christ has laid before you with his death and resurrection. I point to those women as they walk to the tomb to lovingly serve their dead friend. The women went in complete sacrificial love. They prepared, collecting their tools and supplies to make the painful journey to his tomb. They knew what preparing a dead friend for his final rest required. And if they had served a dead friend, they would have done exactly what he needed and wanted from them. The women went with their prepared spices and found something entirely different. Not a dead friend, but a risen Savior. They had no body to prepare and no need for their supplies. The women had to decide between serving a dead friend with the preparations or serving a risen Savior, leaving their preparations behind. And the women made the obvious correct choice. You cannot serve a dead friend if you do not have a dead friend. You must serve a living Savior if you have a living Savior. The women made the correct, obvious decision. You cannot serve a dead friend if you do not have a dead friend. You must serve a living Savior if you have a living Savior. You cannot serve the past if present realities make it irrelevant, even if you prepared for the past. Why do you look for the living among the dead? The women heard and believed, course correcting with the new information that they had. They ran to the men, the same men who spent 3 years with their risen Savior,
and told them the new reality. They did not serve a dead friend, but a risen Savior. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. The women spoke the truth, truth that matched what Jesus had taught them, and the men refused to believe. Most just stubbornly refused to even investigate or discuss, instead choosing to write the women's words off as nonsense. The men chose to serve a dead friend and fearfully go to the grave with him. They chose pain and glory over present realities and had already resolved to live in fear over hope. Except Peter, who at least had the wisdom to go check. He ran to the tomb to see. He gets no credit for trusting the word of the women, but he at least had enough sense to say something worth investigating, at least for a few minutes. Peter did not understand. He went home and stewed about it, trying to figure it out, but at least he tried to discern present reality. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Do we live in the hope of the risen Savior and the living body of Christ? Or do we live in fear as we serve a dying church? Do we seek to serve and live in a sacrificial way, or do we seek to serve past glories and past pains? The disciples' lives became much more dangerous after the resurrection. 10 of the 11 died as martyrs. They went from disciples of a mostly harmless rebel rabbi to leaders of a new religion based on the teachings of an executed, seditious heretic. They lived harder lives with exponentially more struggle, pain, and poverty to serve the risen Savior. The disciples could have remained Jewish and longed for the restoration of Judah and the temple, working to restore their people's past glory and languishing in their past pain. Instead, they served the risen Savior as part of a new people gathered under Christ. Why do you look for the living among the dead? Do you want to serve the dying and dead church or the living body of Christ? Do you look for the living church among the glory of the past or in the present call to love and serve? Do you seek to serve the story of the past or the reality of the present? We can live like the men in this moment, refusing to believe in living in the past. Or we can live like the women, fully believing and diving into the new reality. Or at least like Peter, not understanding, but at least trying to deal with the new reality. May we live in the hope of the living, evolving, and serving body of Christ. May we live in the light of the risen Savior, not the shadow of a dead body in a tomb. Amen.